Welcome to Training for Manhood, an ongoing exploration and adventure intended to be fast, fun, and formative for guys who desire to be the best men they can. Young or old, there are always areas for improvement, growth, and maturity. We hope you'll pay attention and put into practice the useful advice you hear on this podcast. But remember, the goal isn't just to listen, but to do what you learn. Welcome to Training for Manhood.
Hey guys, welcome back to Training for Manhood, Dan Panetti. And I had such an incredible time talking to my wonderful wife, Trisha, last week. And it was valuable. It was really, really good. Although I will say we're going to try to do something better this week than last week because I've got Trisha back with me. But I can talk to Trisha for hours. Okay. We're going to try to cut it a little bit shorter tonight.
Yes, we are.
But we started the conversation about what kind of things as a young woman you were looking for in a man. And we kind of called it, you know, qualities of a godly man. And part of the conversation, and it goes back to this Genesis 26 verse where we're, you know, building altars and pitching tents and digging wells and trying to practically help a group of young men understand what it means to do life according to God's kind of, you know, blueprint for life. What does that mean? What does that look like? How to do life well, how to live this thing out and do it in community and do it in relationships and do it with a godly woman that you've met where you're doing life together. And that's one of the things that I love about doing life with you is you and I do life together and we hopefully help each other do life better. Right. That's one of the things, right, is, you know, you sharpen me, I sharpen you. We do life together better than we would do it without each other. And so hopefully our kids have seen that and desire that. But I wanted to have that conversation with you just one more time where we kind of get a little bit practical. So not just laying out the list of criteria, but if we're talking to a young guy and he's kind of like, okay, I want to be that man that a godly woman wants to be around. And you've kind of given me a vision of what that looks like. How do I practically get there? What does that specifically look like? And I think the first thing I would say, and see if you agree with me on this one, Trisha, is use the relationships that you're already in to prepare for the relationships that are coming. So if you're a young single guy, and you're looking to be in a relationship, right, with a godly woman in the future, start with the relationships that you already have. Start with, you know, the relationship with your mom. What does that relationship look like? How do you honor her? How do you cherish her? How do you respect her? Because that's a great training ground for the relationship that you're going to have for your wife. Sisters, do you have a sister, right? Who are the other women in your life, right? And if you're a very young person, you might be around teachers that are women. How do you honor them and cherish them and respect them as women and learn from them and treat them well as women to prepare you to be the man who treats a particular woman in your life, your wife, well as well? Do you agree with that concept?
Absolutely. And I think it's important that we value the people around us. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. You are in the training ground right now to be able to prepare, to love, to respect, and push yourself and challenge yourself of how you value them. Putting yourself aside, being able to make other people before you, around you, feel valued and important.
Yeah, and I think one of the biggest things when James says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, I think that aspect of listening is such an important practical aspect of what a young man can develop, right? Because we talked about before being a good communicator.
That's right.
And I think communication isn't just about being able to talk, but it's about being able to listen. Like, I show you value not just by communicating things to you, right? But by listening to you and then taking what you said, right, and doing something with it. So I'm not listening to you waiting for you to pause so that I can then jump in. But I'm listening to you thinking, okay, what is it that she's telling me? What is it that she's sharing with me? How does that affect my life? How can I adjust and change and understand those particular things? And I think being a good listener is really, really probably the most important part of being a good communicator, maybe even more important than being able to speak well, being able to, right, be eloquent of speech. But it's, do you listen to what the other person's saying? right? Do you take and value what the other person's saying? And so I think that's a really important thing that you can learn as a young person is, do I listen well to other people? Right. And I can grow in that. I can become a better listener to the people around me. And especially from a male perspective. And I think this is something that our culture has to kind of own. Right. But, you know, in our culture today, what men say is probably valued more than what women say. And I think as a man, right, you have to value what people say. And if what they say is valuable, it doesn't matter if it comes from a man or from a woman. If what they say is true and what they say is right and what they say is good, right? God's given us the criteria for how we should evaluate, right? Not who it comes from, but what is being said, right? So if a guy says something stupid, right, it's stupid. If a girl says something stupid, it's stupid. It doesn't matter, right? If a guy says something valuable, it's valuable. If a girl says something valuable, it's valuable. And I think we need to own that as men, is we can learn to listen to women. If they're speaking something that's true and right and good and valuable, we need to be good listeners of that. And I think that's one of the great things is you've spoken so many things into my life that are super, super helpful for me. Not always things that I wanted to hear, but always things that I needed to hear. Right? I'm a better person, a better version of myself, a better man, a better husband, a better father, because of things that you've told me and that you've shared with me. And sometimes it was in an encouraging way, and sometimes it was in a challenging way, right? Like, hey, you need to hear this. And one of the things I've always loved about you too is that you've never belittled me in front of the kids, right? That if I needed things for correction or the things that I can do better, those were conversations that you had with me later. Right? Like, hey, you needed to, you know, be more firm here or be less firm here or whatever it was, right? Those are conversations that we always had, you know, in private, which was really super helpful for me trying to lead a family, right? Was that you respected that leadership and you had those conversations with me, not to undermine that leadership, which, you know, you and I have both seen that, right? You can undermine the other person in front of other people, you know, especially in front of, you know, the kids. You can undermine your spouse by not valuing what they say, right? And you've always valued what I've said, even if you've disagreed, but then you've taken the disagreement and done that in a different place at a different time so the kids don't have to necessarily see all that. Now, as the kids get older, right, they get to see, you know, more and more of it because you want them to see, to learn how to work through that particular conflict. But especially when those kids are younger, right, you need to be able to have that unified front, and those conversations that need to be done, you know, probably need to be done more in private, so...
Well, and I think, yes, to all that. I think it's so important, especially because you and I communicate. We look at life differently from a different perspective. Not saying that one is better or one is less, but you learn by gathering information and hearing someone's perspective and being able to bring that in and to think it through, that you can learn something, because mm-hmm. you're going to be just how the relationship between you and myself, you are going to be more logical. I'm going to be more emotional. I'm going to be looking at the people around and feeling the human level, whereas you're going to say, this is the most logical thing. So as a young man, I think it's really important that you value the women in your life, because they can bring something to the table that is different than your perspective. Right. And so to learn to value them, I think it also, with culture, there's such an animosity between men and women, mm-hmm. and it makes me so sad that we can't value one another and see the greatness that each group brings. And so I think from a young man, the perspective of an older woman, your mom, a teacher, a coworker, that's going to look at it differently. And so it just, I think it deepens you, and it's also enables you to bring out a whole lot more.
Yeah. It broadens you too. Right. It broadens your perspective. It gives you another way of looking at things. I would say that my communication in my 20s was a lot about me speaking truth, regardless of what the other person felt or how they received it. And that's one of the things that you've brought in my perspective on is I can still speak truth and I don't have to compromise, but I can take into consideration how the other person is receiving the message. And so to your point, that idea of like, understanding that we're emotional creatures and that you can communicate in a way that a person's going to receive it better.
That's right.
Right. It doesn't mean that you don't speak truth, and it doesn't mean that you compromise on the truth, but you've helped me deliver the message in a way that's received better, generally speaking, by people that I'm trying to deliver the message to. And that's super helpful, right? It you know, I just, in my 20s, it was a harsher, right? And right. And now it's not that it's, you know, any less true when I speak to people and give them what they need to know and what they need to hear. I think that's part of, I would never compromise, right, speaking truth to somebody. Absolutely. To yes. make them feel good yes. about it. But there are ways of saying, hey, take into consideration that particular person and that particular instance, and right, and find a way to communicate so that it can be well received as well.
And I think I love that, because you do learn from each other how to communicate, but valuing how can you be the best communicator. God, mm-hmm. Jesus was a great communicator. Mm-hmm. He never faltered from speaking the truth, but he met each person and he spoke to them in the way that they could best understand it. Yep. And so we don't always have to win the conversation to win to be right. And I think that's super important, is because you want to value the relationship, not alter the truth, but learn how to communicate it in the most effective means. So having that time and that place.
Yeah. I think another point that I wanted to kind of get across in conversations with you, this is something that we've tried to do, not only, you know, ourselves, but with our kids as they've grown up. I think young men need to look for opportunities to lead a family spiritually, but before they have a family, you have to look to lead yourself spiritually. And so the idea is, if you're out there and you're single, and you are not in a position of leadership, let's say at your church, you need to look for something where you're leading. You're not just always a consumer, because you can't lead spiritually other people if you've never done it before. And so just for instance, right, you're a young guy, you're going to church, you're showing up on Sunday, you're sitting there, you're listening to a pastor, you're absorbing things, and then you leave, right? I think that's not good training to be a spiritual leader of a family. You need to find a place to plug in and have some responsibility. And other people rely on you and expect you to be there. And, you know, you can't just say, well, I don't feel like going this Sunday. And so you don't go, and nobody misses you, right? That's not going to be good preparation to lead a family, because when I show up and I'm tired and I don't want to be dad or I don't want to be husband, the whole family is affected by that, right? And I think that's a really important aspect of saying, no, I need to put myself in positions. And it's weird, but it's not just at work. I think men do this at work, right? We want positions of authority and leadership at work. But when we get into the spiritual realm, all of a sudden we're, back row Baptist, right? We're not looking to, be in a position of leadership. And I think that's bad training from a spiritual perspective, where we need to put ourselves in those positions. I don't care if it's, being the head of the parking duty guys, right? But like every Sunday when you show up, you need to have some, responsibility, and other people rely on you and expect you to do something, so that you're training yourself to be that husband, to be that father, where that family is relying on you, right? And you've proven that you can not just do it and absorb somebody else working, but you can do the work necessary as well. And I think that might be a simple, practical thing, but if we're going to build altars and pitch tents, right, building altars, right, should take work. It should take time. It should take effort. And so your spiritual life should be something that you are working on, that you are building. And other people should see that this is an area of responsibility that you've heightened. Right. And so when I go to church, right, it's like, where are you serving? Where are you plugging in? What are you doing? What are you giving? Not just what are you taking from that particular time?
Well, and I think we live in, the United States, where Christianity is very easy to come to. And so we make it convenient, mm-hmm. because we live a busy life and we have a lot of important things to do. And so my idea is, the importance of making it a priority to serve other people, the priority of going in there and realizing that you're going to come in and you're not going to roll in if it starts at 9 o'clock and roll in at 9:05 and partake of everyone else's, what other people have done to make that service work, to be able to be there and participate.
And so this is something I've brought up before. I always think it's good to show up early at things. because here's the reason why. If there's something that needs to be done, if you show up early, you have an opportunity to say, let me help out. Right. If you show up on time at something, you're basically saying, right, everything should be done. I'm showing up on time to receive, right, the blessing of what other people are doing. And if you show up late to something, in a sense, you're saying, I don't even care that you went through all the work, time and effort, you know, to have this thing start. I'm going to show up when it's convenient for me. Now, generally speaking, right, there are times where, you know, you can't be, you know, on time or early to everything.
Right.
But I think as a general rule, if you have that mindset of things, right? If you're going to something and you're saying, hey, is there an opportunity for me to go set up chairs? Or is there an opportunity for me to help out? Or is there an opportunity for me to do something? Let's get there early and see if that happens, right? You might be going to something where there's really not that opportunity, right? Where showing up on time or showing up when you can get there, right, is a, you know, an okay thing to do. But I think it's just kind of like that general rule. Like, are you a person who's looking for opportunities to serve, right? We were just going through, you know, Joshua chapter 24 today at church. And the pastor was talking about how Joshua basically said, you know, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Right. And there's so many different things of that particular verse that just jump out to me. Right. One, Joshua speaking as for me and my house, that he's speaking not only for himself, but he's speaking for his entire household. And that's a position of leadership that you can tell Joshua is saying, this isn't just something that Joshua is deciding. This is something that Joshua and all the people that he's responsible for are deciding. So if you're going to be part of Joshua's family, Joshua's going to lead you.
That's right.
I think that's such an important thing, right?
Absolutely.
Like, hey, listen, you can't just go do your own thing if you're part of Joshua's family, because Joshua's leading us this way. But I love where he leads him, because he says, it's for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so he has this position of humility. He's not running the show, right? God is the one running the show. Joshua's there to serve. Joshua's there to do what God has called him to do, and he's taking his family with him. And I love that concept, right? That's the attitude that we need to have as men. Right. As for me and my house, I'm here to serve.
Well, and Dan, I think it starts with, I like that, as for me. So as for me, I will serve the Lord. And then the family's going to come. So a lot of these young guys maybe don't have that family, or they're in an early relationship. And so right now is the practice. As for me.
As for me. Start
as
there.
As for me. It starts with me.
I will serve the Lord.
We will serve the Lord. And I love that, because it brought up to me the idea they're in the wilderness, mm-hmm. and in the process of walking through the wilderness, that they're trying to get to the promised land, mm-hmm. and they're going to take lots of years to get to the promised land. But I look at the wilderness as a time of practice. Mm-hmm. They're preparing for what God has set them for.
Yeah.
We are living today in a time, as for me, in my wilderness, wherever God has you, it's preparing you for the next chapter. And that next chapter could be, as for me and my household. So right now, as you're in the wilderness, that you are taking your opportunity to walk and do the things necessary. And this reminded me of Exodus 33. Back when the Israelites were in the wilderness wandering around, they had the tent of meeting, and that's where they would go and worship. So they would carry all their belongings with them, and then they would stop. And once they stopped, they would then unpack everything, set out the tent of meeting, and it was not a convenient place.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that we've got to learn. Christianity, walking the walk, isn't going to be convenient. They had to walk outside the camp. But the coolest thing was, anyone that wanted to inquire of the Lord was allowed to go and go into the tent of meeting. Mm-hmm. Well, what would happen is Moses came in. Everyone would stand up outside their tents, and they would watch Moses to go into the tent of meeting. And then the presence of the Lord would come down, a cloud would fill the tent, and then he would speak to Moses, and then Moses would speak to the people. Now, the interesting part is the people anyone was allowed to go in, but there was only one that it says went in besides Moses, and that was Joshua. So all these other people stood from afar and watched as God spoke to Moses. And the reason I'm saying that is the secondhand knowledge. They had a secondhand account of spending time with God from what Moses went face to face with. So as believers, we're called, for as for me, we've got to go to that place of Joshua, it says, was left on his face before God as Moses left. So the idea is, what are you doing to get your as for me ready to build that altar?
Yep. Also, one of the things you mentioned at church this morning when we were talking about Joshua 24 was before Joshua makes the statement, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. One of the things that he tells the people is, hey, you got to throw away your false gods. Mm. And that was one of the things you pointed out. You said, hey, that's one of the great questions is, you know, asking people, what are the things that are holding you back from going into the tent of the meeting and meeting with God? What are the things that are holding you back from being the man that God, you know, has called you to be? What are the things that are holding you back from, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? And just a great reminder is getting rid of those things. And so it's, you know, if you want to, practically speaking, prepare yourself to be the man of God who is building altars, pitching tents, digging wells, doing it in a community of believers, of like-minded people who are surrounding you, doing it with a woman, right, as your spouse, as your life mate. There are some things you've got to say no to, right? This isn't just a podcast about what to do in terms of what you say yes to. There are some no's that have to happen along the way. You've got to say no to things that are going to be detrimental to that. And part of that is you've probably got to say no to some relationships that are not going to be beneficial. You know, one of my favorite things is, you know, Paul in Colossians talks about divisive people, right? He says, warn them once, warn them twice, have nothing to do with them. There are people who tear you down instead of building you up. Be very careful about being around those people. There are people who do not have your best interest in mind. And, you know, they're seeking their own self-interest, right? Be very, very careful about allowing those people to speak into your life. There are things, right? You know, people, places, and things. There are places that we don't need to go as Christians. There are things that we don't need to do and participate in. There are people that we don't need to allow to speak into our lives, right? I mean, I think about, you know, Jesus when he ate with sinners, right? It wasn't the sinners that were influencing Jesus. It was Jesus influencing the sinners,
right?
So when Jesus would come into your presence, right? You weren't being a negative influence on him. He was being a positive influence on you. And I think that's one of the things that we need to make sure that we're doing as we go out in life is be very careful about the people that you allow to be an influence on you. Now, there, you know, as a Christian, we can go into a lot of different places and be a positive influence, but there are even some places that we need to avoid. There are some places that we don't need to go because those places are filled, right with temptations and with things that are negative that we don't need to be a part of, right? And I think that's a thing that, you know, as a young man in training, you don't need to see how close to the edge you can get. You need to see how far, right, away from things that are negative and harmful to you that you can get and stay away from. And so, you know, for instance, there are negative influences. We talked earlier about, you know, the issue of alcohol. We had this conversation with our kids. I don't think it's a benefit, right? It, you know, everything may be permissible, but not everything's beneficial, right? I don't think it's a beneficial aspect, right? As a young man, that's a question you need to ask, right? Is that something that I want to include in my life? Or is that something I want to push to the periphery and say, that's not an important, I don't want that to be a central aspect of my life. Where are you meeting people, right? To do life together with. And I think, you know, that's a part of the question that you need to be asking and answering. And, you know, you and I talked about the whole idea of, as a young man, who are you allowing to speak into your life?
That's right.
Who are the older men that are speaking into your life? And who are the guys that are your age that you are allowing to speak into your life to provide that encouragement, to provide that challenge to you? Because that's one of the great things that your wife will get to do. You know, you've got a, you know, inside scoop into my life where you get to say things to me, right? But that constructive criticism is something that, you know, I was used to because I heard it from other people growing up, and I appreciated it when somebody would correct me, right? And try to make me better, right? And so that I think that as a young man, you need to make sure you've got relationships where not everybody's just telling you what you want to hear, but they're telling you what you need to hear.
Well, and Dan, I think one of that those things too, I think especially with you young guys, that you're putting your career out there, you're putting your life in order, and it requires a lot of time and energy. Mm-hmm. And so there's not a lot of leftover extra time. And so it might be difficult to make new relationships. So we might go back to the old ways of doing things. Maybe you've recommitted yourself to Christ. Yeah. And so you're going to church, you're doing that, but you still have this group of guys that have always been there yep. for you.
Yep.
And so they might not be the most beneficial in building you up, because all of a sudden the people that we hang around become the people that we define ourselves by.
Yeah.
At least I'm doing better than this guy, or at least I'm doing better than him. I mean, he does X, Y, and Z, but he's fun to be with. And so that's great. But we have to also run towards the new. The wilderness is preparing us for the promised land. The wilderness is providing us to cross that Jordan River to get to the other side. And when we get there, the land that's going to be there, it's not going to be this easy place to go, like you get married and or you know you have children and all of a sudden you've entered the promised land. The promised land, you've got enemies waiting for you. There are fortified cities. And so you've got to make the prep work now that you're running hard, you're surrounding yourself with other men and guys. And if you have a hard time finding those guys who are going to build you up and who are going to challenge you and say no to you of that's not a person that you need to be going out with or whatever it is, mm-hmm. surround yourself with those kind of people.
Yeah. Yeah. Just because they're past relationships, past friendships, guys I hung out in high school or college with, it doesn't mean that they're beneficial for you now. It doesn't mean that you can't keep a relationship and continue to invest into those people. But the question is, who's investing into you, right? Who are you allowing to speak into your life? And if you're surrounded by a group of guys that are not challenging you and pushing you to be a better version of yourself, here's the deal. You really got to own that. You're not preparing yourself for marriage and you're not preparing yourself for the calling that God has on your life if you don't have a group of men around you that are pushing you to excel, right? I mean, scripture, when, you know, Hebrews 10, 24 talks about spurring on one another to love and good deeds. And I love the phrase spurring on since we live in Texas, right? Because I think of spurs,
yeah.
In a pair of boots, right? And, they're meant to motivate a horse to move faster than it's going, right? You put your spurs into the side of a horse when you want it to giddy up and move.
Right.
Right. And I think that's what good friends do, right? They put their spurs in you when they want you to move, right? We don't settle. We don't sit. We don't just stand here. We need you to move. We need you to do something. Training for Manhood is a podcast that's intended to spur you on, right? That's not saying, hey, I'm resting on my laurels, or as you said, I'm doing better than so and so, right? Look at Jimmy over there. He's not, right? No, right? Where should you be, right? And what is God calling you to? And how do you get there? And if you haven't figured out the roadmap on how to get there, the practical things you need to do, right, that's what we're talking about, is you need to figure out what those qualities are of a godly man. And then the practical application is, how do I develop those things in my life? How can I become, as we just talked about here, right, how can I become a better listener? How can I become a better leader? How can I develop relationships that are meaningful and significant and profound, right? How can I build altars, pitch tents, and dig wells? That's the practical part that we're talking about.
And I think, too, is time.
Yeah.
Is the most important. You'll have more time right now, young, because just the older you get, the more responsibilities that you have. And so you are learning to be a caretaker of your time. Mm. And so how do you value and invest your time?
Yep.
We invest money. Well, some people do. But how do you invest it? How are you investing your time? At work, you were called to put so many hours in. So when you have that extra time, which I know is limited, getting back into working full time and maybe going to grad school, whatever it is, you have all these areas, but there's always time to be able to take some time and invest it. So Who are you listening to? So not only are you surrounding yourself with godly young men, older men, pouring into younger, what are you listening to? Mm-hmm. What is the majority of your time? Are you on a screen listening to people? Is it ESPN? Nothing wrong with ESPN. But where is the majority of your time? Is it a Joe Rogan, which he's fun and interesting in? But then are you balancing yourself? Because remember, you're about to go into the promised land, and that battle is coming. So if you know that that Jericho, that walled fortified city is coming, what are you doing to prepare yourself to enable this to be a difference maker?
I'm glad you brought up time, because if I think about it, right, I mean, there are people out there who are investment strategists, right? They take your wealth, right, and they give you different options for investments. And here's the deal: you can be very cautious, right, or you can be very risky. And you can take those investments and you can make more money. And there's a whole profession out there, right, to do that, right? Wealth management. They take that. And so different people have different skills, different people have different resources, right? But the reality is everybody has the same amount of time. And so how we use that 24 hours that we've been given is actually our most precious commodity, yeah. Right? And the decisions that we make and how we use our time is even more valuable, right? Because you can't get more of it. Right. I mean, if we ran out of money, right, well, I mean, we can work harder. Right. You can't add more time to the day. Right. I can't just say, hey, listen, I wasted 6 hours today, but I'll make it up tomorrow. No, you can't. You don't get the 6 hours back. If you wasted it, it's gone. Right. You get a fresh 24 hours, tomorrow. But you have to figure out that, the investment that you're making, if you're not putting in the time now. Right. I mean, scripture talks about you will reap what you sow. And so the things that you're putting in now, you will reap the harvest of later. That's the reality of it. And so if you're not putting in the time to plant those seeds of faithfulness and those seeds of godliness and those seeds that are going to make a godly man, right, they're not going to happen. You can't just wake up one day at 35 or 45 or 55 and say, oh, I want to turn it on now. Let's get this thing going. It doesn't work that way. Right. And so I think, I'm glad you brought up time, because especially as a younger person, that's the one thing that I notice, right, that the enemy is so effective in stealing away the time so that people don't invest it into things that are going to be worthwhile. And they're going to return on that investment something that's going to be valuable in the years to come. And they waste. Right? They waste time. So many people waste so much time. And it's, this culture that we're in, there's so many things that are competing for your time and your attention. And we have to be really smart to say no to the things that are even good or the things that are bad, right? And say yes to the things that are great. Yes to the things that are going to be most beneficial for me and my family, because we want to serve the Lord.
Well, Dan, and we learned in church service today that a human makes 35,000 decisions a day.
A day.
And that's a lot of decisions.
It is.
And it's hard having to make so many decisions. And that is why one of the reasons you have got to be in God's Word. And it's not to be reminded of, oh, I should do X, Y, and Z, but it's to remind you whose you are. Because the world makes us forget so quickly. Mm. And if we don't have that Word of God open, then we begin to forget who we are. Yeah. And the reminder of what's been given to us. Because the enemy wants us to forget those things. Yeah. So if we can have him at the forefront of our mind and being reminded of all that is ours as a believer in Christ, then all of a sudden 35,000 decisions change. One little decision, what a difference.
And a lot of the things that the world is wrestling with into their decisions are actually the simple ones that, because you've defined who you are and whose you are, then the decision is a lot easier, right? If I've got, 15 different options, right? But I'm like, hey, listen, as a godly man, where can I go? It might knock it down to 3 options. and a lot of those are, no, that's not the best that God has defined for me. And so, the easiest way of making decisions, right, is to say, hey, the decision's not mine to make, but I'm simply a steward, right, of God. I'm a child of God. And so I have to say no to these things, because those things aren't places or people or things that God would be doing.
Because, Dan, as for me, and my household.
Yes.
And that's what the goal is. As for me and my household, you get to make that decision.
Yep.
You get to be the one to say, as for me, today I will serve the Lord.
Yep.
And that means putting myself to the altar so that I use my time well. I get the sleep. I get the exercise. I get all these activities taken care of, but I'm investing my time into God's word so that my investment is going to have more fruition and it's going to make a greater impact for all the decisions we make.
There you go. You and I could talk for hours, but we can't because you have a lot to do to get ready for this week. So I'm going to let you go get that stuff ready for this week. And I just want it to be just a reminder to the guys who are listening that there is work to be done, right? There's work to be done and there is time to do it. But you will reap what you sow, you will reap what you sow, right? So you will either put in the time necessary now, right, and you will have the blessings that come with that, or you will waste your time now, and you'll regret it later on. And so, guys, do the work now, the hardship now, establishing that pattern, that rule of life, where you're in a position to grow, to build those altars. To get plugged into a good church, to find a position of leadership where you are serving and you're giving and you're growing, surround yourself by a community of like-minded people who are challenging you, who are equipping you. Treat the people who are around you well, and especially if they're women, use that as a training opportunity to prepare you for the one relationship that God brings along of that wonderful wife. Treat all your sisters in Christ with respect. Learn to listen well. Learn to honor them well and do these practical things on this particular journey to prepare you to be the man of God that God has equipped you to be. All right. Thanks, Tricia.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Training for Manhood. If you found the conversation to be valuable, make sure to rate us where you listen to podcasts. Also, check out additional content on our website, trainingformanhood.com. That's training4manhood.com. Until next time, in the words of King David, be strong and show yourself a man.